First of all, I want to echo the words of Sarah as she walked through the door. It's been worth some memories, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. We used to have our 11 o'clock service and round in a circle in this room. I just remember Jasper, the baby, playing in the middle. So here we are again, and here we are gathered to celebrate the Epiphany, the revealing of Jesus to the nations and the revealing of Jesus to us who aren't Jews. We celebrate God, including everyone in this continuing story of Jesus coming to us and of being with us. And of course, the Epiphany is special to us, as Simon said, because it's our betrothal festival. The festival after which our parish is named. So I kind of wanted to think about, what does it mean for us to be the Walbrook Epiphany? At our Christmas Eve service at St Thomas's, we were reflecting on the significance of the angel telling Joseph to name Jesus, and the meaning of that, God saves, describing why Jesus was coming. His name was significant. And then we went around and thought about the significance of our own names. And they were variably profound or perhaps a bit disappointing. So our youngest member, Josue, has the same name as Jesus, God saves. And Tom, his name means the twin. So, you know, not a lot to live up to there, So sometimes a name is given with a purpose to describe something about what something's going to do or someone's going to do. So the name of our parish is a bit of a mouthful sometimes, but perhaps it also begins to give us an identity built on by our parish vision. Epiphany is about the revelation of Christ to the nations. Those three wise men, magi, representing people then considered outsiders by the people of God. And their coming to worship Jesus was a sign of what was to come, the revealing of God not just to the Jews but to all of us, to all sorts of unlikely people. So as we think about these readings that we've had today, we're going to consider how we might live up to our name, both in receiving the revelation of God and participating in other people receiving that revelation. So we're going to begin not with the actual story of those wise men, but with that prophecy that foreshadows it. The reading from Isaiah and its talk of a light dawning, which kind of echoes a phrase we use epiphany sometimes in, you know, just to mean something that we've realised, a sudden realisation. So perhaps it dawned on me, or it was a light bulb moment. I just imagine a little cartoon character with a little light bulb appearing above their head when they realise the truth of something. So I'm just going to read you again the first three verses of the reading that Beth read. Arise, Jerusalem. Let your light shine for all to see. For the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you. Darkness as black as night covers all the nations of the earth. But the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you. All nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to see your radiance. And throughout Christmas we hear a lot about the light. We light the Advent candles to prepare to welcome the light of Christ into the world. Light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. So Isaiah had his message for the people of Israel, who at that time just returned from being in exile, starting to rebuild their land. They had hopes of restoration, partially fulfilled, and here Isaiah is encouraging them with his vision of God's glory shining on them, God's presence with them. Right then we live in a kind of in-between time. Celebrates the birth of Jesus and the light and the hope and the joy that brings, but we also see around us darkness. We see that there's not always good news. There's war, there's fear, there's broken relationships. And so Isaiah encourages us, your light has come. In the middle of winter, it can be hard to remember what the light feels like when it shines on your face. And you kind of relax and sunbathe. Can we remember that the light has come, that God is with us? But Isaiah also tells those people to arise and shine. The darkness might cover the nations, but the light is not just for us to enjoy, but for those nations too. Isaiah reminds Israel that their calling was not just to be blessed by God, but that through them, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. The light shines on them, but not just for their own benefit, but for those who are in darkness around them. And so it is with us. Christ has not just come for us who sit in this room, or even who are sitting in other churches at this very moment, but for all the people who are around us who might not yet have seen the light. And so if we look at the story of the Magi, our reading from Matthew, there are some people here who, despite coming from very far away, had seen the light. It's a very familiar story, isn't it, of the wise men coming. And we're again going to try and look at it from these two perspectives of how we ourselves come to Christ, like the Magi, and how we might be a part of other people's journey towards Christ. So first, can we see ourselves in the Magi's place? When I first started reading the chapter, what struck me was what it said in verse 2, and trying to think about what's behind that. It just says, we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. So these Magi, these wise men, possibly they were astrologers, you know, they might have been part of the ruling classes of wherever they came from. Maybe they were Zoroastrians, diviners, magicians. Perhaps not the sort of people that we might think would be interested in Jesus. They weren't Jewish, but they were believers in signs in the sky, and that's why they were looking for it. Even though we might think perhaps they were looking in slightly the wrong place for signs of God, they actually found the sign of God. They were actively looking for it. They must have been studying the stars to have noticed just one tiny star appearing in the night sky. And having looked and seen the star, they realised its significance and they did something about it. They set out on a really long journey to worship the King of the Jews. And I just thought, why on earth would they do that? You know, it's one thing to notice something in the sky. Oh yes, a new king's been born. How lovely. But they went that extra step, didn't they? Even though they thought they said themselves, it's the King of the Jews, so on the surface that had nothing to do with them, because they weren't Jewish. But they set out on this journey to worship him. If they were part of the kind of powers that be, they did, Magi in those days, did go and visit when there was a new king born or a crowning. Sometimes they would go and visit that new king. That's part of their kind of ambassadors of other countries. So I wondered what they made of this baby when they found him. Did they sense that he was no ordinary king? Did they return to their own country, changed by their encounter? Matthew doesn't really say. Maybe that's because it's obvious to him. He knows from the scriptures that Jesus the Messiah isn't just King of the Jews, that he is a light to the Gentiles, to all nations. Isaiah prophesied that the nations and kings would come to this light that dawns on Israel. Matthew knows that people from everywhere will be drawn to this child. The Magi saw the sign and they set out to worship him. So perhaps it is with us. I'm going to actually have a moment for us to think about that. For us to be sitting here today, at some point, we have felt drawn to Jesus. Or maybe we've been drawn by someone else. I wonder what it was. What it was about the story of Jesus that caught our attention. What is it about Jesus that keeps us seeking him? We may have been on a very long journey since we first saw a sign. And sometimes that journey is hard and sometimes we're not entirely sure where we're going. So what is it that keeps us seeking him? What is it that first sparked that thought that we're going to go on this journey with Jesus? God, remind us of what it was that started out. Months later to think about that a bit more, maybe talk to each other about what our journeys are. So we are Wilbrook Epiphany because we've all in some way been recipients of that epiphany, of a revelation of who God is. And this isn't just a passive thing, is it? The wise men, having seen the sign, set out on a journey to seek Jesus. So are we looking for signs of God? And what do we do when we see them? We are on a journey together to seek him, to bring our gifts, to present them before him, to bow down and worship him, just like the Magi. This is what we are. Seekers of God, journeyers, worshippers. We can also look at this story of the Magi from a slightly different perspective. The Magi in the story represent the other, the stranger, the visitor from distant lands. Another thing that makes the Epiphany so relevant to this parish is, of course, the sense of the revelation of Christ to the nations. And here we are, truly surrounded by people from all those nations, or quite a lot of them, perhaps not all of them. They're on our doorstep. So what if we imagine the Magi as some ordinary Normanton folk? They may seem metaphorically miles away from Christ. We might even think some areas of the parish as beset by darkness, spiritually or in just the harsh realities of people's lives, of poverty. Maybe we find people around us who put their faith in the stars or other things that seem strange to us. But what if they were to see a light appearing like a little star, like the Magi did? Signs telling them of the birth of the King. What if they were to see a glorious light, as Isaiah puts it, a radiance shining in their midst? What if they were to embark on a surprising journey like the Magi did? We've already thought about how the Magi saw this sign in the sky, something that sparked their interest, the beginnings of the Epiphany. And they set out to find its source. But, of course, they end up in the wrong place, don't they? They end up in this palace in Jerusalem, which on the face of it seems like an obvious place to go because they're looking for a king of the Jews, but that is not where he is. They need the wisdom of the chief priests and the teachers of the law to know where to find Jesus. They need people who have studied the scriptures, who know what God has said previously, who are already part of God's people, to help them on their way. And ironically, of course, the people who are familiar with where the Messiah is born, who know the answer to that question, don't actually make the effort to go and see him, do they? They just send off the Magi. It's the outsiders that actually make that journey. But without them having that wisdom from the people who knew, from the people who studied the scriptures, would they have made it? As soon as they start on their way again, the star carries on guiding them. So how might we see ourselves there? As well as us being seekers of God, we are people who know God. This is where we might pay attention to our final reading, which is Ephesians, which, like a lot of Paul, is a bit wordy, but Paul is saying that he's been given this revelation that Jesus is for the Gentiles as well as the Jews. And so he says, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me, to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. So Paul, it's clear that having knowledge of God is not a reason for boasting or superiority. It is God's grace to us, to the least. God's power at work and not ours. But having received this knowledge of what God is like in Jesus, like Paul, we have a calling also to share this with others, to make plain what they have not yet known, to let them know that this gift is for all people, not just those who are currently in the club. Going back to Isaiah, it's the light has come and Isaiah calls us to shine. Think about that. On the one hand, God is the light. God is the light that is shining on God's people. But God's people are also called to shine in their own way. In Matthew, there is a star to guide the Magi. But then also God's people help to open the scriptures and point them in the right direction. Now clearly, Herod himself had terrible motives for helping them find the child. And the teachers of the law were content to give guidance, but not actually to seek God themselves. So there is a warning to us there as well as an example to follow. We should realise that in this we are working with God. Amazing as that sounds. We're not trying to attract people to us or even to church. It is God that we are seeking and that we seek to point others to, or to draw them along in our journey as we seek God. We are signs that point to God. We are light lit by the glory of God, by the true light. So we continue to seek God. Only by knowing God can we point others to Christ. See in these passages and in our experience that God is one who wants to be known. Throughout history, God has been revealed to people, especially, most fully, in Jesus. The Epiphany makes it clear that this is to all people. We can participate in this revelation by being signs and guides to others who are also.